Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, my dear fellow redeemed. Well, I don't know about you, but I think I just learned that nobody likes maps anymore. I still do have one in my car. I've got that atlas that sits right between the console and the car and the passenger seat. Every now and then it gets pulled out, kind of beat up. Not so much because it gets used a lot, but because it rattles around the car a lot. And yet those things still become handy. I've also learned over the years that different people have different attitudes toward things like the GPSs and the Google Maps and things like that. I know of some who will just pull out that GPS and they'll plug the address in and they'll do whatever it tells them. They haven't the foggiest idea where they're going. They have no idea what the next turn is, but the GPS says go this way for 5 miles, so I'm going to go this way for 5 miles. And while I do use one of those things, I still like, if I'm going someplace unfamiliar, at least have kind of a big picture, kind of an idea of what's coming, a general idea of what's going, just in case the GPS takes me out in the middle of a desert somewhere or takes me a different way, or the road that the GPS wants me to go on has a bridge out, and I got to go someplace else. All of those serve to guide us and to help us focus in on God's word today. We want to focus our attention on the first lesson from Deuteronomy chapter 11. As we listen to Moses give final instructions to the children of Israel, you and I are going to picture the word as a map. Your word is the map. And so as we use that map, it helps us to remember what God says, and then it helps us live what God says. Deuteronomy is a word that actually means second law, and perhaps you remember that Moses said a lot of things in Deuteronomy that had already been said in Exodus and Leviticus and in Numbers. But Deuteronomy is Moses' sort of farewell speech. We're at the end of the 40 years of wandering around in the wilderness. He knows that he's not going to go into that promised land. He's talking to a generation that hadn't been in Egypt, a generation that has now been replacing the one that's been dying in the desert the last 40 years. So as this new generation gets ready to go into the promised land, he gives some last-minute reminders, last-minute encouragements, repeats some of the things that God wants them to know. In a sense, he says, remember what God says. And Moses does remind us that you basically could kind of boil down everything that God says into two things. In verses 26, 27, and 28, we read, "You see, I am placing before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God that I am giving you today, or the curse, if you do not listen to the commands of the Lord your God, and you turn away from the path that I am commanding you today by walking after other gods whom you did not know." Remember what God says. God says that he has this blessing. The blessing that is based on the obedience of the people as they follow along in his will and in his ways, as they remember his laws and his commands, as they remember the various sacrifices that he had given, the commandments that he had offered there on Mount Sinai, as they do those things that had set them to be the separate covenant nation, then there would be blessing. God would bless them with a long life. Now, of course, we leave it up to God to determine how long that actually ends up being. But he describes that long life for them and for their children. That as they do things God's way, as they listen to what God has to say, and as they remember what God says, then there's going to be blessings from doing things and walking along the way that God had described for them. And one of those blessings included the land. Here is a nation standing on the banks of the Jordan River, getting ready to go into the land. Abraham had been in that land, but it was never his. Other than a little burial plot, he just kind of moved around as a foreigner and as a stranger. Isaac was on the land, but like his father, he never really owned it. Was still a foreigner and a stranger, wandering around on it. Jacob had been in the land, and he left the land, left confident that God was going to keep his promise that someday, somewhere along the way, that he was going to bring his descendants back, even though he was taking every one of them down to Egypt, that they would get to come back and be in this land because that's what God had said. And that's what God had promised. And now that promise is about to be fulfilled. Remember what God says. Rejoice in those blessings as you remember and follow and do what God had to say. Of course, then there's the flip side to it, and that's the curse. Even though you and I know that our Lord and our God is a God of love, even though we know that what he wants to do is bless, the whole reason he made this world, the whole reason he created everything was so that he could bless the crown of his creation. And yet, ever since the fall and the sin, there has been another necessary message that God has had to proclaim for all of those who do not obey, those who do not listen to what God has to say, those who do not remember what God says, then comes the curse. As Israel was getting ready to go into that promised land, they had 40 years of experience to remind themselves of what happens when you don't listen to what God has to say, when you don't remember what God says. They could have been in the land 40 years earlier, but they forgot about what their Lord had promised them. They were not interested in what God had promised them. They were convinced that God couldn't keep the promise. And so they had to deal with the curse of roaming for 40 years. The curse of God comes when there is no obedience, when there is no listening. And just as they had 40 years of experience and how that works, so now Moses reminds them, now remember, when you go into this land, remember what God says. The word is your map. There is no other thing that's going to guide you through life. There is no other God who's going to direct you on the correct paths. There is no other map. But there are going to be those who will try to tempt you to set that map aside, unplug the GPS, throw away the atlas. And there will be those who will try to tempt you to go after some other gods who offer different kind of promises. When that comes, there is only the curse. When they follow after some God that they had never known, there is no other God other than the true God who actually came to them and said, "This is who I am." There is no other God who has actually approached them and said, "This is what I'm doing for you." There is no other God that they would know. There is no other God who can bless them. There really is no other God that can curse them. Because they're simply made up human imaginations. Gods that are unable to do anything. And yet if they would get lost and if they would take a wrong turn and they would end up following these other gods, then the God who can curse will have to in an attempt to bring his wandering people back. The word is your map. Remember what God says. Now, you and I are not standing on the banks of a Jordan River. You and I are not standing on the banks of some land here on this earth that God had promised to us. You and I are not part of a specific chosen nation with a very specific purpose that God is trying to keep separate from the rest of the world. And yet, like the children of Israel, you and I understand that the word is your map. It's your guide. Remember what God says. For he comes to you with the very same blessings and he comes with the very same curses. You understand the two concepts. We often call them law and gospel. But the word reminds us that there are those times when God also has to come to you and to me with those very same curses. Because there are also times when you and I forget what God has said. What's the so-called God? The God that you didn't know. The God who cannot say anything to you. The God who cannot promise, "Come to me. I'll listen. I'll offer advice. I'll help you through." I doubt the God that you and I are going to serve or anything like what the children of Israel have been tempted to do. We're probably not going after something called a Baal or an Asherah. We're probably not even necessarily tempted to run after an Allah or a Hindu God or anything like that. But there are other gods who cannot bless you and cannot curse you. And yet we forget that God is the one who speaks to us, and we end up putting something else first. Perhaps we call it money. Perhaps we call it career. Perhaps we call it a boat. Perhaps we call it camping, hockey, baseball, vacation, backyard, laziness, book. It can come in all kinds of forms. And every one of those things can be good and beneficial in and of themselves unless they take God's place. And we no longer remember what God says. And that becomes the God. That becomes our focus. That thing, that effort, that time, that whatever it is, that becomes so important to me that I take the map, I fold it up, I throw it away, can only be followed by curses. Because then you take a look at the fruit that Jesus described in the gospel lesson, and you see fruit that is finding its nourishment in something other than God. Fruit that is often focused on me and myself and what I want. The Word is your map, not success, not somebody else's ideas. Remember what God says. Rejoice in those promises. Rejoice in those blessings. You've got the map laid out here before you. You have the Word accessible to you. You have the opportunity to hear it, not just on a Sunday morning, but every day as you go home and crack those pages of God's Word open and follow the map. And remember what God says. Because as you remember what God says, that makes it easier to get from point A to point B. There is a destination. There is a place we are going. There is a place we want to be. And as you listen to the words of Deuteronomy chapter 11, perhaps as you heard Moses talk about the fact that not only do you remember what God says, but now I also want you to live what God says, maybe you think about what James said in chapter 1. Do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And that's the hard part, right? Do what it says. Live what God says. The second lesson is the one that brought out why you and I need the map, why you and I need the Word, because the second lesson has already told us that there is no difference. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You remember that in Old Testament Israel, the covenant that God had made with them was a bilateral covenant. It was a two-sided covenant. As he gathered them together at the base of Mount Sinai, and he said, you do these things, remember these things, and when you do these things, then you will be able to live long in the land. God was going to do something, the people were to do something. And all through Old Testament history, it became very, very clear that the people couldn't and wouldn't. It became very clear that one end of the bargain would not be held up because everyone has sinned. There is no one who is righteous. And the Apostle Paul is the one who drove that point home. Just before our second lesson, he said these familiar words, what then? Are we any better off? No, not at all. In fact, we have already made the charge that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. Just as it is written, there is no one who is righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who searches for God. They all turned away. Together they have become useless. There is no one who does what is good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They kept deceiving with their tongues. The poison of asps is on their lips. Their mouth is filled with cursing and bitterness. Their feet are quick to shed blood. They leave a trail of destruction and suffering wherever they go. The way of peace they did not know. There is no fear of God in front of their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says is addressed to those who are under the law, so that every mouth will be silenced and the whole world will be subject to God's judgment. For this reason, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by works of the law, for through the law we become aware of sin. Can't be done. About a week and a half ago, a little over a week ago, many of us had the opportunity to view that movie, A Return to Grace. And they did a pretty good job of allowing the actor who portrayed Martin Luther to show what happens when I try to save myself, when I try to be the one who's righteous, when I'm trying to be the one who makes my own map and follows my own way. Can't be done. No matter how hard I try, no matter what I do, no matter how good I think I am, I'm never good enough to get God's attention. I'm never good enough to earn heaven. I'm never good enough to make God like me, because I cannot be perfect. And the harder I try, the more aware of my sin I become aware of. So that's the problem. How am I supposed to live what God says? The movie did also a pretty good job of showing how excited Luther got when the light went on. You know the passage. In fact, there is no difference, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. You can live what God says. Not because you're so good, not because you try so hard, not because you have to, but because there is a righteousness that comes from God, not a righteousness that he demands from you, a righteousness that he gives to you. And now that righteousness that comes from God is poured all over us. And now in praise and in thanks and in honor and in love, we get to live what God says. Not because we're trying to earn heaven, but because you already have heaven. It's your gift of his grace. Your gift of his love. And that's why Moses says, put these words of mine in your hearts and in your soul, and tie them on your wrists as signs and as symbols on your forehead. Teach them to your children by talking about them when you sit in your house and when you travel on the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Not just remember what God says, but also live what God says. Rejoicing in now our opportunity to do what our Lord and our God guides us to do. Put these on your heart. Put them on your soul. Make them part of life. Not just for an hour a week, not just periodically, not just during Bible class and Sunday school season, but constantly. Put them in your head. Put it on your heart. Make it part of you, because this is your map. This is what's going to guide you into the glories of heaven. This is what's going to take you home. Put it in your head. Put it in your heart. Tie it on your hands. Wrap it around your forehead. Some of the Jews literally did that. They were called phylacteries. They would take various Bible passages and they'd strap them on their arms or put them on a headband. Most of those who did that kind of missed the point. Moses wasn't really saying wear them. He was saying live them. But the point is clear. Make this word so much a part of your life. Make this so much of who you are that every time your hands go to do something, you're looking at God's word. You're looking at hands that were washed in the blood of Christ. You're looking at hands whom Jesus loved so much that he gave you his righteousness. Now, what are those hands going to go do? Hands that were redeemed by God in his grace. Hands that get to live what God says. Make it so much a part of you that it's as if it's tied around your head and it's hanging right here. That every time you look, you have to look through the word. As your brain engages, as your eyes start to wander, as you have plans and thoughts, every one of them guided by what God says, as you live what God says. Make it so much a part of you that it's in every thought and action and word. And then comes the part that's pretty fitting for today. Father's Day. Perhaps one of the best things that you and I, who are fathers, have a chance to do is teach it to your children. that as you remember and live what God says, your children get to watch you remember and live what God says. Our opportunity to show our children that we're not talking about just something that is sporadic throughout lifetime, something that is not applicable every day, just on a Sunday, or maybe on a Wednesday night, or maybe through eighth grade if you happen to go through this school. And then after that, you're done. What an amazing gift that fathers have received to be able to teach it to your children. When? When you are sitting at home, when you're getting up, when you're lying down, when you're walking along the road. Every aspect of life gives you the privilege and the opportunity of helping another soul whom Jesus died for, a soul that has been entrusted to you, to also remember that the Word is their map. That your children also remember what God says and then live what God says. Hang it on your door frames. Put them on your walls. Some of us actually do that. Maybe you've got a Bible passage on a plaque. Maybe you've got something hanging above the door in your home. Something that can let other people know the moment they walk in your door what kind of house they're walking into. What kind of family is this going to be? One who rejoices and lives what God has to say. The Word is your map. Live what it says. God in His amazing grace has planted you on the bedrock of His Word. God in His amazing grace has given you the opportunity to hear day in and day out, given you fathers who have made sure that you knew what this Word was all about. Now given you the opportunity to know that sin is not just folding up the map or happening to take a wrong turn every now and then, but something that would prevent us from entering into heaven and something that God has dealt with. That the sin has been washed away. The guilt has been removed. The times when I wasn't looking and acting and thinking like God's child. The times when I wasn't remembering that I want to live what God has to say. The times when I pigeonholed God into a certain aspect of life but didn't allow Him to affect anything else. Every one of those sins is paid for by the blood of Christ. And you stand righteous. And now, like those children of Israel, we keep living the Word. As you go through these next several weeks, as you go through the rest of your life, you have the opportunity to know where you're going, and you know how to get there, because the Word is your map. Remember, not just for a little bit, but always, remember what God says, and then rejoice in the privilege to live what God says. Amen.